What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Isaac Edelman here. It's another FL Teams podcast. But today, I'm joined by a special guest. I guess you could call us the future of FAU media. We are the young guys. We are the young, aspiring broadcasters and reporters. And we're going to be talking FAU football today. JJ, how's it going, my man?
Doing great. Eager to get into this episode. I mean, I'm so excited to talk some FAU, especially with you, one of the up-and-coming broadcasters. So pleasure to be on, and thank you so much for having me, Isaac.
Yeah, hopefully people listen to us because we're young, but they have to understand we know what we're saying. So, JJ, I just want to get right into it. FAU football, Tom Herman, first year, new quarterbacks, new team, new look. It's a new era, and it obviously started with FAU basketball. Before we get into the football part, I know you wanted to speak about FAU basketball. Just talk about the success they had last season making it to the Final Four and how it's going to contribute to the success of FAU football and the program as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, the basketball team sort of set an expectation for the football team to keep up with this athletic department. I thought that basketball season last year, like, it helped so much for the university itself. And I think we can definitely carry that momentum onto football. And I'm so excited for this football season. And hopefully that basketball can carry on.
Yeah, the basketball team really showed us what expectations are like, right? No one expected FAU basketball to be ranked. No one expected FAU basketball to make it far in the Conference USA tournament, let alone the March Madness tournament. And they beat Memphis. Then they beat FDU, Tennessee, and Kansas State. They make it to the Final Four where they go to Houston. It's just insane. But it shows Tom Herman that the job's not done. There's now new expectations at Florida Atlantic University because winning is something, but taking it to another level is another thing. And that's what Tom Herman did by bringing in Casey Thompson. JJ, you obviously got the opportunity to get out to a few FAU practices. What have you seen out of Casey Thompson, the new FAU transfer?
I thought he's done spectacular. Every ball is so accurate to the receiver, whether he's throwing it to Jaquan or LeJonte. I mean, it's right to the receiver. He's excellent. I mean, with his feet, his footwork has been pure, so good. And really, I'm very impressed with Casey. I mean, every throw has really been right to the receiver's hands. And I think he could definitely become one of the best quarterbacks in the AAC in this upcoming season.
Yeah, and the thing is, he knows Tom Herman well. Tom Herman's the one that recruited him. He started his career off at Texas, and then his last stop was Nebraska before he came right here to Boca Raton. Let's talk about Daniel Richardson. He's in a tough position. He transferred from Central Michigan to FAU thinking he's going to be the starting quarterback, and we thought the same until FAU brought in Casey Thompson. And in my opinion, you tell me if I'm wrong, it looks like Casey's going to be the starting quarterback, but FAU hasn't shut down the conversation and the competition.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as of right now, Coach Herman said he can't speak on who's the starter until later into camp. I mean, the scrimmage tomorrow is open to the public, so for sure it's going to tell a lot. But right now, at the practices, Daniel is taking reps with the starting O-line like Chaz Neal and Jordan Church, and he's also throwing it to the starting receivers like Jaquan and LeJonte. So as of right now, like, Daniel's been going first on every single practice. So as of right now, I think there's a chance for Daniel because Herman has been very impressed with him, and Daniel and Casey are the only two with D1 experience, so you got to think it's between those two. I mean, there is a lot of respect that I have to Luke Rucker and Michael Johnson Jr. and Tyreek Starks, but really it's a two-team, two-quarterback battle, and I think Casey's going to end up being the starter, but he still does have to learn a new offense under Coach Charlie Fry, the offensive coordinator. He was with Herman at Texas. He was recruited by Herman, as you said. But there is a new offense that he has to learn. I think when it's all said and done, Casey will be the week one starter on September 2nd against Monmouth. But as of right now, it looks like Daniel is taking those first team reps. So,
Yeah, and obviously the decision that's going to be made is going to be the best decision for the team, right? I trust what Tom Herman does. He obviously sees more than us. He knows more than us. He's been around the game more than us. But if Casey does get the starting job, you have to feel for Daniel because he came to FAU thinking he's going to be the starting quarterback. That's how it looked like in the spring. And then Casey came along. But I guess that's what sports are about. That's what college football is. The transfer portal is huge nowadays. Let's talk about someone that did not transfer. He had a very good season last year. He stayed. He's one of the best running backs in the American Athletic Conference, which, by the way, I forgot to mention, FAU, this is their first year in the American Athletic Conference. Obviously, I said new era, Tom Herman, but they're in a new conference. But one of the best running backs in the conference, Larry McCammon. What are your expectations for him this season?
Yeah, he was in a 1,000-yard rusher last year, and he came off a bang in that last week against Western Kentucky. I think he rushed for over 130 yards and 2 touchdowns, which is really huge in that last game last season. I mean, being in a 1,000-yard rusher in college is insane. My expectations for him is to have that at least 700 yards this year, have a bunch of touchdowns, maybe a touchdown each game. But this running back competition is way bigger. I mean, we have Zuberi Mobley coming back, and we brought in Kobe Lewis from Purdue. So really all three of them look to share carries, each getting maybe 15 a game. I wouldn't say Larry's going to have the workhorse like he did last year because they brought in Kobe Lewis, and Kobe Lewis is going to be really, really good. He's really good on the ground. He was a power five running back like he was at Purdue. And he knows Charlie Fry. Charlie Fry recruited him at Central Michigan. So I'm just excited for Kobe Lewis and Zuberi. My expectations fully for Larry is to maybe have one touchdown a game. I mean, he averaged like 5.2 yards a carry last year, which is spectacular. And if he can keep that up to that 4 yards of carry and above, I mean, I'm going to be happy with that. So that's where I'm feeling about Larry McCammon.
Yeah, and Larry really, really, really produced when Johnny Ford struggled last season, which happened a lot. I know Johnny dealt with some struggles, but Larry really stepped up and made his presence known. And really, FAU fans, reporters, media, you name it, didn't really know who Larry was until Johnny went down. And he made good use of that opportunity. And going to the Purdue transfer, Kobe Lewis, he was in a power five weight room. He's huge. He is going to flourish this season at FAU. And I think he could help some of the other young offensive players. So let's now get into the schedule, right? FAU is facing some interesting opponents this year. Interesting, you ask. Well, FAU doesn't really face these teams because, well, FAU was in Conference USA. So obviously, you know, FAU is going to start off against Monmouth. We're not going to go through every game. So I'm going to skip to week three. Clemson, FAU going on the road. Clemson is a top team. This is not the Clemson team with Trevor Lawrence and Ja'Marr Chase with LSU. And obviously when you look at an Alabama team or an Oklahoma team with Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray, but it's still Clemson. It's still a top team. How can FAU stay competitive, let alone win a football game when they head to Clemson?
Yeah, so Clemson is going to be very, very good this year. I mean, quarterback change, DJU, their quarterback last year, transferred to Oregon State. So their quarterback now is Cade Klubnik, a five-star guy. I mean, he had an amazing game in that ACC championship game in the win over North Carolina. Cade is so good. And what I think FAU needs to do is contain the rush. Will Shipley, a top three running back in college football, and it's going to be really hard to contain him. I mean, the D-line has to be very good. I mean, Evan Anderson, he has to get to Will Shipley as well as Jaden Wheeler. And I really think that I don't think that we'll beat Clemson, but we could definitely keep it close within a 2-touchdown game if we can contain the rush. I mean, Will Shipley is going to have a breakout year this year. And Cade Klubnik is also like really good, the sophomore five-star recruit. So just gonna be a good game. I mean, we'll give everything we have, and the talent on this team might be good enough if there's a 1 in 100 chance to maybe beat Clemson. I mean, we could catch them sleeping on a good day for us. And you never know. I mean, you play the games to play, and I mean, whether we're favored or unfavored, we still have a chance, and we're gonna compete. So hopefully we can keep that one close. My expectation for that game is to keep it within a 2-score game, really. I'm not expecting a win, but that's pretty much what I think out of Clemson.
Yeah, I think in order to keep it competitive, it's going to be a game about play calling. I think you can only do so much against a better looking roster, bigger size, better weight room, and better coaches. So the real difference maker, because obviously the depth chart's going to favor Clemson, is going to be play calling. I think Tom Herman can make it a close game with trick plays and also design plays where KC can expose Clemson's weak spots. It does get easier the next week, but if we learned anything from Dusty May's basketball team, it's that you never could rely on the favorites. You can never doubt the underdogs. And FAU is going to be an underdog the next week against Illinois. Illinois, not as good as Clemson, but it's a Big Ten school. What are your expectations for that game?
Yeah, I predicted this in my predictions on the FAU Owl's Nest YouTube channel, and I think we can beat Illinois. I honestly do. I mean, Illinois is losing their quarterback, Tommy DeVito. He got signed by the New York Giants. He was very good last year. They're losing their starting running back, Chase Brown, and Chase Brown led the Big Ten in rushing yards, led the FBS in touchdowns in terms of a running back, and he was insane. I think he was a third-round pick, Chase Brown. So losing him, and you're losing your best cornerback, Devon Witherspoon, who is the number 5 pick in the NFL draft to the Seattle Seahawks. So you're losing your 3 best players, I should say, and you're losing your defensive coordinator, who is now the head coach of Purdue, and he had the number 1 defense in the Big Ten last year. So Illinois is losing a lot of production, and I think we could definitely beat them. I mean, it's more winnable of a game than most people think. I mean, last year we saw with Purdue that they're pretty much even with Illinois. I mean, Purdue won the Big Ten West last year, and we came within 2 points of them, and we have a much better team than last year. So Isaac, I definitely think that we could easily, I mean, have a chance to beat Illinois, and it's way more winnable than most of us think.
Yeah, and those are FAU's honestly two biggest games, and they happen to be both on the road and back to back. After that, it gets much easier. You know, we're not going to really touch on every game, but then you face Tulsa, then you face USF. USF is in Tampa. That's going to be an interesting game because FAU, I think, much better than USF, but USF is just very questionable right now. You honestly don't know how they're going to look under new head coach Alex Golish, who was the offensive coordinator at Tennessee. Tennessee was insanely good last season, and their offense with Hendon Hooker was really powerful. And that means Alex Golish is going to be an offensive guy. We don't know as of now who the quarterback's going to be for USF. It could be Gary Bohannon or Byron Brown. I will tell you this, though. They have a very underrated wide receiver, a transfer from Texas. Tom Herman knows him. His cousin is my quarterback and running back at West Boca High School, Jaden Alexis. He's going to be a very good wide receiver for USF this season. But there's really nothing to touch on there. We don't know how good USF is. I'm going to assume FAU is going to win, even if USF's very good. But let's be honest. I don't think FAU is going to struggle in a lot of games. Now, here's a game they will struggle. We're really fast forwarding. Tulane, it's in Boca, but Tulane has just been so good these last few seasons. They made a big bowl game, and Michael Pratt, who, by the way, is from Boca Raton, was very talented last season. It's at home. Are you still picking FAU, JJ?
I think that the Tulane game is more winnable than the UTSA game, which are both at home. I'm not picking FAU to beat Tulane. I think Tulane will end up beating us. I think it will be close. I mean, It's definitely more winnable than most people think because they are losing Tajae Spears, one of the best running backs in the American Conference last year, the best running back, I should say. Tyco Pratt, as you mentioned, is a really, really good quarterback. I mean, 90% of AAC voters picked him to be the number one quarterback in the AAC, and it's going to be really hard to contain them. I'm picking Tulane slightly. I mean, if we can contain Michael Pratt and get to him fast, we could definitely win. But you never know. I mean, Tulane, like last year, they might be in a playoff contention spot if they're undefeated to this point. I mean, looking at both rosters, Tulane is more talented, but I am picking Tulane still.
Yeah, and this game is going to be Michael Pratt's second to last regular season game. We know he wants to be drafted high. Who knows if he'll be drafted in the first round? But these final few weeks, not just for Tulane's playoff chances and making a bowl game, but Michael Pratt wants to impress scouts and NFL teams, right? It's the second to last game. He only has so much time to make an impact. He's been amazing over these last few seasons, but this has to be his final season in college football. And he wants to be a talented quarterback in the NFL. So I think he's going to put on a show against FAU. I think FAU's defense is going to struggle. It's reality. But we can see if the offense could, just turn it up a little bit to compete. So that's really it. Obviously, FAU has a much tougher schedule than usual, but that comes with going to a better conference. And that's going to come with having a new look team. Whether it's Tom Herman, Charlie Fry, Chad Lunsford, you name it, FAU is going to look much different. JJ, if you had to give one piece of advice or motivation to FAU fans to keep watching the football team, what would it be? And you can mention the basketball team's success, or you could just say something else. But what would you say to the FAU faithful to watch the FAU football team this season?
I mean, you never know. Like last year, we were predicted fifth in the conference in basketball and we made the Final Four. And this year, we're predicted fifth in the conference in football. So you never know. I mean, the basketball team really shocked the world. And FAU Athletics is trending up, new head coach. And the ceiling, this there's ultimately no ceiling. I mean, you can go as much, you could be as good as winning the American Conference. So, of course, just keep watching, stay tuned with the football team, and you never know.
Yeah, I have to give a lot of credit to Athletic Director Brian White. He's done a terrific job with the basketball team and really every other program. FAU is really trending in the right direction. For me, as a gentleman, a high schooler, it shows, right? More people want to apply to the college, right? It's not all about the sports. People want to apply to the college now. So, look, Tom Herman's going to help this team in a tremendous direction. Dusty may set the bar, and I think Tom Herman won't disappoint. JJ, any final words? I just want to, again, thank you so much for joining.
I mean, stay tuned. It's going to be a great season in athletics. As you mentioned, Brian White, I mean, he's such a good athletic director. And in all sports, he's really elevated FAU to the next level. So just stay tuned, watch every game. And that's pretty much it. I really appreciate you having me on, Isaac.
Of course, we'll have to do this again. Look, we're the future of FAU media. We're the future of the sports media industry. Two young guys coming together for a podcast to talk about FAU, but it's more than that, right? We want to make it big in the industry. So we appreciate every follow, every like, every comment. Make sure to follow FL Teams, your go-to one-stop shop for all Florida sports coverage. You can check us out at FL Teams on social media and the website, flteams.com. And follow JJ Metz of FAU Owls Nest. FAU Owls Nest, by the way. Terrific FAU coverage for all sports. And then follow JJ Metz on Twitter. He's been doing a terrific job with all things FAU, but especially you've been doing a great job getting out to the practices and just showing us what this team is made of. And again, follow me at Isaac Edelman. With that said, thanks so much for watching. Make sure to follow us. And again, have a good rest of your day.